And thank all of you this morning who are here. We do have a number of guests in our audience, and for that we're truly thankful and grateful. And we hope that you'll come again whenever you have the opportunity to be a part of our worship service here. It is a great day outside. It's always a great day when God's people can assemble. David said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, in spite of all the good things that we see going around us every day and things that happen to us, we all have to face a lot of difficult times. We all have to face obstacles in life. How do you overcome the obstacles that you face in your life? Do you realize that they are universal in nature? We live in a universe of challenges. By the way, I wanted to tell you a moment ago that the reason those taco salads are free on Monday night is because we have already put in a formal request for Walmart to furnish those. We all have difficulties in our life. I don't know about you. I have difficulties in my own life. Some days I wake up and, you know, you just feel like you don't want to get out of bed. It's going to be a bad, bad day. I read the other day where, you know, even preachers have oftentimes good news and bad news. The article said, "Good news, you baptized 7 people today in the river. Bad news, you lost 2 of them in the swift current." Good news, the ladies' Bible class voted to send you a get well card. The bad news is that the vote passed by 16 to 15. Good news, Mrs. Jones is wild about your sermons. Bad news, Mrs. Jones is also wild about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Good news, your deacons want to send you to the Holy Land. Bad news, they are stalling until the next war. I saw a really good story the other day talking about people having great difficulty in their life. There was a man who placed an ad in the classifieds. It said, "For sale, complete set of Encyclopedia Britannica, 45 volumes, excellent condition, $1,000 or best offer, no longer needed. Got married last weekend and my wife knows everything." What do you do when you face the obstacles in life that we face every day? What is an obstacle anyway? It is something, according to Webster, it is something that obstructs or hinders or stands in the way, or it stops progress. But how do you overcome the obstacles of your life? There are 6 things that I want to remind you of this morning that hopefully will help you not only to understand these obstacles, but how you deal with them. Number 1, you should expect obstacles in life. Challenges and temptations are going to come your way. As a matter of fact, when you read the Bible, there are warnings ahead of each and every one of us. Every day. Every day we see a warning. We either see it in the Word of God or we hear it from a brother in Christ or a sister in the Lord who tells us to take heed because the challenges are always going to be before you. Let me suggest to you this morning that there are 5 challenges that each and every one of us should consider. There is the challenge, first of all, to experience something new. You know, we all get wrapped up in the same old thing, and we don't ever really want to venture out of what we call the box. But experience something new in your life. Secondly, do something that pushes you to your physical limit. I know sometimes people say, "Well, I've done all that I can do." Not really. There is a muster of courage, and there is a muster of strength within each and every one of us that propels us to do something beyond what we feel that we're capable of doing in a physical way. But number 3, do something that scares you. You know, sometimes people are unwilling to do the things that they're fearful of in life. But we ought to be people that go beyond our fears and the things that actually frighten us in life. Number 4, Do something that will bring you closer to your family and to your friends. Sometimes we do a lot of things to distance ourselves from our friends and our family, but we ought to do something that brings us closer, and it may be an obstacle. It may be something that maybe a family member said to hurt you, or it may be something that a friend did. Overcome it. And then number five, learn a new skill. You can teach old dogs new tricks. And you know what? Every one of us ought to face those obstacles. And I know some people say, well, I can't do that. But you know what? God says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Over and over and over. The Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, as a matter of fact, there was a young man named David in the Bible who lived centuries before you and I, who met some of those great challenges that I'm talking about this morning. In the book of 1 Samuel 17, verse 4 through 7, and you can either read along in your Bible or you can focus your eyes up here. The Bible says the Philistine had a champion fighter named Goliath, who was from Gath. He was over 9 feet tall. Some authorities say that he was about 9 foot 9 inches. Get the picture, if you will. Goliath came from the Philistine camp. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of armor that was made like the scales of a fish. This armor was made of bronze. It weighed about 125 pounds. Goliath wore bronze protectors on his legs. He had a bronze javelin on his back. The wooden part of his spear was as big as a weaver's rod. The spear blade weighed about 15 pounds, and Goliath's helper, or his armor bearer, walked out in front of him carrying a shield. Think about all that. Goliath's armor. His height, there again, was about 9'9". Bronze helmet. Bronze coat of mail weighing about 250 pounds. Bronze armor on his leg, and by the way, that weighed about 125. The spear made of the weaver's beam weighed about 15 pounds. Iron spearhead, 25 pounds. And then the shield bearer is always out in front of him to protect him. And in 1 Samuel 17, in verse 24, the scripture continues, all the men of Israel, when they saw this man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes to Israel. Now, how many of you know that would be a great thing? Well, anyway, in verse 26, the Bible says, David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of God's people or of Israel? For who is this Philistine that he should defy the very armies of the living God? Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against his younger brother David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left the few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. For you have come down for reasons beyond what you say, but to see the battle. Well, how do you overcome the obstacles in your life? Expect them, first of all. David expected them. He met one challenge right after another. Israel meets one challenge right after another. There's a second thought you need to remember, though, and that is that we must make an honest evaluation of ourselves. You know, there are few people in life that look into the Word of God as a mirror and allow that mirror to reflect us for what we really are. I'm doing a series right now in our ladies' Bible class on Tuesday morning called The Aging Mirror. Now, that was a delicate way of saying to the ladies that they're getting older. Don't let that out, will you? How do you overcome? You make an evaluation of yourself for what you really are. And in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 28, now Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke again. He was aroused against David and said, "Why did you come down here?" Why, David was supposed to be back taking care of the sheep. But he had left the sheep, and now he has gone down to where the action is. And his brother asked him, with whom did you leave those sheep out in the wilderness? He said, "I know that you've come down only to see this battle." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." David knew that with God's help, he could bring that giant down. Do you realize that in our life, when we evaluate ourselves, we understand that there's some things that we can't bring down, but with God's help, we can? If God be for us, Romans 8 and 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? There is no power that supersedes the power of Almighty God. There is no power that is greater than God. For John says, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And David made an evaluation of himself before God. Notice what he says. He said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion, he will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine as well." When we think of obstacles, there's another thing, however, that we need to understand. And that is to accept ourselves as God made us. You know, we all have obstacles in life, one right after another. And sometimes we're afraid to really accept ourselves as we really are, with our deficiencies. There are some people in life that are deficient. They can't help it. I mean, that's just the way they are. They were made that way. Can't do it. And accept that. And understand your limitations. I hear people say sometimes today, "Well, you know, I just can't do what I used to do." Accept your limitation. And when you faced an obstacle, accept that limitation. And God says unto you, "You can't do it." You can't. But David knew that with God's help, he could. Someone said, if you want to be trusted, be honest. If you want to be honest, be true. If you want to be true, be yourself. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 38 and 39, as the story continues, the Bible says, Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to the armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these. I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took the staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He was ready for him. David knew he couldn't use all of that armor. Why, the king wanted him to have it, and I mean, they were ready to equip him with everything in the world that he thought he needed, but he knew that with God's help, he didn't need it. He accepted his limitation. "I can't walk with all of this on me." But he was familiar with the sling, and he picked up 5 stones. But you know what? He only needed one. And the reason he picked up 5 was because actually Goliath had 4 brothers, and he was ready for them as well. He was. In the book of Proverbs 6, verse 20 through 23, Solomon said, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck And when you roam, they will lead you. And when you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. David did that. How do you deal with the obstacles of your life, and how do you overcome them? Well, number four, never run from a challenge, but face it. You know, there are many people in life, when they are confronted with an obstacle, just go the other way. Jonah did that when God called on Jonah to go down to Nineveh and preach to the people of Nineveh, the greatest revival that the world had ever heard of. Jonah got on a boat going the opposite way. He was unwilling to face the challenge. But you know, we all face challenges every day. We do. Instead of running from the challenges, we ought to face them. We should. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, the Bible says that he disdained him, for he was only a youth. Get the picture, if you will. Here's Goliath, this mighty giant who's standing out there. And here is this young, sweet singer of Israel named David, just a young shepherd boy. Can you imagine all the armies of Israel could not bring this great giant down? And this young little shepherd boy goes out and confronts Goliath. And the Bible says that he disdained him because he was a youth. He was ruddy. He was good looking. So the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog," he says, "that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, "Come to me, and I will give you and your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beast of the field." And notice what David said to the Philistine. "You come to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And we know it happened, as David said. You know, when I think of courage, I think of a young woman up in Boston. Her name is Adrienne Haslett. Married name is Davis. She lost a leg in that Boston bombing. You probably have seen her on television if you've watched any of the ongoings of the Boston massacre and the bombing. What a terrible and horrendous thing it was. But I was privileged to see this young girl on television last night in an interview with Anderson Cooper. And this young woman began to talk about her great faith in God. And she began to talk about her courage that she had. And she said, had it not been for her faith in God and her courage, she would have never made it. She said probably one of the most heart-wrenching things that occurred after the bombing, she was with her mom. And she had her leg on the pillow. And she kept saying to her mother, "Mother, please lift my foot back up on the pillow. It feels as though it's falling off and it's going numb." And the mother said unto her, "Honey, you have lost your foot." How would you say that to a young dancer? How would you say that to a young woman like this young girl? But through her faith and through her courage, she was able to overcome. How do you overcome all the obstacles in your life? Well, last of all, always trust in the power of God. And to realize that overcoming obstacles doesn't necessarily depend upon us. It depends upon the help and the strength that we get from God. Notice again what David said in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37. David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." God's going to do it, not him. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand," he said, "and I will strike you and take your head from you." And you will remember that he did, as he said. "And this day I will give not only your carcass, but the carcasses of all of those of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." We will all deal with our giants. I don't care who you are, whether you're willing to face up to them or not. You will either conquer the giant or the giant will conquer you. There is a solution that is given, biblically speaking. For in Proverbs 3 and verse 6, the Bible says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I like Isaiah 40 and verse 31. That speaks of great strength compared to that of the eagle. "For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." When I think about the majesty of God and the power of God, I'm reminded of those beautiful words of Paul in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. When he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory." Sometimes it's hard for us to believe that God can do things beyond what we can do. But he can. When God is working in you and in your life and in your heart, God does great and mighty things beyond even our imagination. It is true. He works in all of us. How do you overcome the obstacles in your life? Number 6, you can triumph where others fail. Sometimes people go through life just existing. They do. Life is nothing to them. They don't enjoy life. They make everybody else miserable because they're miserable. It's often said they look like they've been weaned on a dill pickle or a lemon, and they go around and they're miserable. They're unhappy. They're always down on themselves, and they fail to reach out and understand that life can be better. It can be better. For in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 48 through 50, "So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David." David, listen to this, hastened and ran. He didn't stand off timidly, but he hastened and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And then David put his hand in the bag and he took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Just a stone. What would the chances be of a person doing that on his own? What would be your chances with a slingshot, hitting someone in the forehead and killing him? David knew that with the power of God, he could do anything. How do you overcome the obstacles in your life? Expect them. Make an honest evaluation of yourself. Accept yourself for what you are and let God work through you. Never run from a challenge, but always face it. And always trust in the power of God and realize that you can triumph where others have failed. Many, many others tried to bring Goliath down. It didn't happen. Do you know, in New Testament times, the reason that the early church was able to face the challenges of preaching the gospel to the known world was because the Lord was with them? It's a great thing to be able to realize just how powerful God is and how He works in us. In Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority and all power hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even to the end of the world." No challenge can be met successfully without Christ. But with Him, all things are possible. For in the book of Philippians 4 and verse 13 again, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." You and I, you may be facing a challenge today in your life. We all need to let God help us through those challenges. It may be in your marriage. It may be with your children. It may be with your health. Could be with your attitude. Could be with your peers, people around you. Could be with your finances. I know one thing, that God stands ready and willing to help us meet those challenges. There is a passage found in the book of Isaiah 54 and verse 17. That's such a powerful passage and should be meaningful to all of us that are here this morning. God says, listen to it, "No weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up against you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord, and their vindication will come from me," God says. "I, the Lord, have spoken." And then in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty works which thou knowest not." That's why I'm not ashamed of God. That's why I am unashamed to declare Him as my Lord and to declare Him as my God. You know, we were singing that song a moment ago that Dwight had selected there. "Our God, He is alive," or "How great Thou art." God is a great God. And we should never be ashamed of Him. For Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 16 that "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Many of us want to call on the Lord, but before we call upon the Lord, we should answer the call of the Lord. A lot of people call on God when they get in trouble. I see it all the time. People get sick, they hurt, maybe have a death in the family, and they want to reach out and say, "God bless me." But they've never called upon Him. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's important that we understand that. And understand that when we call upon the Lord, it is a way of saying unto God, "God, I want to change my life. I want to meet the obstacles, and with your help, I will do it. And I thereby repent of my sin this morning, and I confess with my lips the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and I act upon your command to be immersed or baptized in water, that my sin might be washed away." But without God, you'll never find happiness. You'll never find joy. You won't. And that's why in Acts 2:38, when they cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin." You may be facing some obstacle this morning. I hope you'll allow God to help you overcome it while we stand and while we sing.